There's a story that's told about a famous preacher that was somewhat of a fraud. You see, his sermons were great. He was a fantastic preacher. But he didn't write his sermons. They were written by a staff assistant. And finally, this staff assistant got tired of filling in the gaps and his patients run out. So one day the preacher was speaking to thousands of expectant listeners. And at the bottom of page 2 of his sermon, he read these words. And this, my friend, takes us to the very heart of the book of Habakkuk, which is. And he paused and he turned a page and he saw those dreaded words. You're on your own now. Well, I checked my sermon real good before I got up here. So there, I'm not on my own totally. In our study of the word today, we see Elisha, God's chosen replacement for Elijah the prophet. We find that Elisha was left beside the Jordan River on his own. Elijah was gone. He had been taken up to heaven in a whirlwind in a chariot of fire. And here's Elisha standing there alone, by himself. He was on his own. But you know what? He was not alone, because he had a double portion now of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've often talked about Elijah and Elisha and Joshua and Moses and the dedication that these men of God had to Jehovah God. Both Elijah and Elisha were committed to fulfilling the task that was placed before them. We see Elijah when he assumes that God has finished with him, that his ministry is over, that his life is over. But God has a different plan. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elisha, a young man, the son of a farmer. He's out one day plowing in his father's field with two oxen. And Elijah was sent by God to anoint Elisha to be his successor. And it says that Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And I had to look this thing up. What is a mantle? It's a coat or a cape people traveling wore, so that during the night, if they got cold, they'd have something to cover up with. It was a coat. So here we see Elisha out there in the field just plowing, just working just as hard as he can go. And Elijah comes by and he throws his coat over there on him. And all of a sudden, Elisha goes from being a farmer to being a follower. And immediately, he begins to shadow Elijah. We have a shadower at our house. Every step we take, Francis takes it right behind us. And that's what Elisha did. He followed Elijah's every step. He didn't let Elijah out of his sight. Besides it taking a lot of courage on Elisha's part, because here we're looking at a kid that had always been in the comfort of his father's house. He had never had to go out on his own and wonder, where's the next meal coming from? What's going to happen next? That was not any of his worries. Besides it taking courage, Elisha had to have what I like to refer as the 3 D's of God. Elisha was delegated. He was determined and he was dedicated. Elisha was delegated. He knew that he had been chosen by God. He had been signaled out by God to take Elijah's place as a prophet to the whole nation of Israel. Those were some of the biggest shoes that anybody could ever hope to fill. It would be kind of like me if I decided to step into Daniel's size 16 shoe with my size 8 foot. I couldn't fill that shoe. If I tried to do some of the things that Daniel does, there's no way I could do it. And trust me, there's no way I could sing. There's no way that I could fill his shoes. And Elisha knew that in the natural there was no way that he could fill Elijah's shoes. But we see this young boy as he hits the road with Elijah. He had accepted his calling from God. Elisha was determined. As they began their journey, Elijah told Elisha 3 different times, "Stay here. I've got to go to Bethel. Then I've got to go on to Jericho. I've got so much I've got to do." 3 times. But Elisha did not hesitate, not a single time. He says, he put his foot down. He says, "Whatever you do, wherever you go, I'm your shadow. I'm going to be there." Because he knew that if he kept his faith and his trust in God, that it didn't matter that he was leaving the comfort of farm and family and everything. He knew that he had to put God first in his life. That's hard to do. We see people that go to church all their life. They sit in church on Sunday morning and they listen to the preacher preach. They listen to the choir sing. They listen to people give testimony about how good God has been. But not once did they accept the challenge and decide, "Well, you know, maybe I need to get my act together. Maybe I need to follow God more closely. Maybe I need to be the Christian that I should be." How many times? I've done it. Why do you think you're an exception? We have all failed and fallen short of doing what God expects us to do. But Elisha didn't. He said, buddy, I'm staying right here with you, Elijah. I'm not taking my eyes off of you." But that's what we do so many times. We take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, who we're supposed to be following. Elisha was dedicated. He was willing to serve. He was so dedicated that, like I said, he didn't want to take his eyes off of Elijah because he was afraid that he would miss something. You've seen kids that whenever you were at a family gathering, you couldn't get rid of the little boogers because they were right under your feet. They didn't want to miss nothing. They didn't know what they were going to miss, but they didn't want to miss it. Well, Elisha was like that. He was not going to get out of the sight of Elijah because he didn't want to miss nothing. He didn't want to miss any of the blessings that God had in store for him. When they came to the Jordan River, I can just imagine. If it had been me, if I had been Elisha, and I was standing there at the Jordan River, and I was thinking, "Now, you know, we got to get to the other side." And here this guy pulls off his coat and he hits the water with it. Whoosh! The water parts. And they didn't have to slop through in mud up to their knees, folks. They went across on dry ground. And that's what God is doing for us. When he parts a water of problems in our life, he doesn't expect us to go muddling through in clay and mud up to our knees, but he has a path of dry ground set aside for us that we can cross to the other side into the glory of God. Elisha was determined to be there when Elijah was taken up. And he was dedicated. He was willing to serve. And he didn't take his eyes off of Elijah. Elisha answered without hesitation when Elijah asked him, "What can I do? What do you want? I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Elisha was not asking for a double portion so that he could have bragging rights that, hey, I'm a better preacher than Elijah was. I've got a bigger congregation than he had. I got a bigger following than he had. He didn't want bragging rights. But he knew that under the circumstances, he knew that the trials and the tribulations, the things that he would have in his life, that he needed that power, that anointing of the Holy Spirit to help him get through all of that stuff. You know, folks, our life is full of garbage. And unless we have got the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we're going to just get lost in the shuffle. We'll be thrown out with the rest of the garbage. Unless we rely, depend upon the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and follow in God's steps that he has directed for us. He knew that the battles he would face were not just physical battles, not just sickness or having the flu this week or some other problem, but he knew that he was going to be facing spiritual battles, that he was coming into a spiritual warfare like the women talked about in Women's Circle. He knew that he needed to have the whole armor of God. And the only way that he was going to have this was to have that double portion of the Spirit of God. He was now more determined than ever not to let Elijah out of his sight. We see in Elisha's walk today the three D's of God: the delegation, the determination, and the dedication that all Christians should have. Every one of us should have these three D's in our life. We are all delegated. We are all called out to be a separate people to serve God. We should be determined to walk as close to God as we possibly can. Not just on Sunday mornings when we come together in church, but every day of the week we need to walk in these paths of righteousness. Christians tend to follow Christ from a distance, from afar. Like the student prophets, they followed behind. They didn't get up there where the action was. They just come and warm the pew on Sunday morning. They were following behind. But we're delegated. We're called out to be a separate people to serve God. We should be determined to walk as close to God as we possibly can every day of our life. A man named C.H. Irwin wrote a very fitting comment on this. He said that he who would lead or teach others must be doubly spiritual, doubly wise, doubly careful, and doubly holy for the honor of Christ. We're facing the same conditions today that Elijah and Elisha were faced with. The same sins of immorality and covetousness and forgetfulness of God are all around us. We need more men and women like Elijah and Elisha who will stand up and say, "Who of you are on the Lord's side? Remember, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But so many times we stand back and we don't want people to even know that we're a Christian because we don't want to offend anybody. We're so busy trying to be politically correct. Being politically correct will not get you inside of heaven's gates. Yeah. It takes being spiritually correct. It takes having the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life that will get you through all these trials and problems that we're faced with.
Amen.
Elisha decided to be on the Lord's side. Because of his dedication and his determination, Elisha saw Elijah when he was taken up to heaven in the whirlwind, in that chariot of fire with the horses of fire. When Elijah was taken away, his mantle fell to the ground. And Elisha reached down and he picked it up. And he took that mantle and he smote the water. And he says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" You know, if you go back and you look through history, through the pages of history, you will find the actual record shows that in Elisha's ministry, he performed exactly twice as many miracles as he did through Elijah. He asked for a double portion. So Elisha was able to do, by being obedient, twice as many things for God as Elijah had done. This all sounds exciting, but it happened so long ago. How does it apply to us today? We don't see prophets today. If we did, we wouldn't know what we were looking at. Because everybody's, like I said, we're being, don't want to offend anybody, so I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a prophet. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a preacher. You know, we just go with the flow. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son."
Amen.
And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, Jesus tells us that we must take up our cross and follow Him. There are conditions that every Christian must meet in order to receive this double portion of God's Spirit. Spiritual experiences are not transferable from one man or one woman to another. They're not transferable. They're not inherited from your parents. You can't get to heaven on your mother's apron strings. My grandma used to say when I was a little kid, it took me a long time to figure it out. But she would tell us, "Young'uns, every tub has to set on its own bottom." You can't get to heaven by acting like I act. Or acting like your mama acted. You have to get to heaven on your own through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no other way to get to heaven except through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Elisha had to pick up the mantle before he was blessed. It's our responsibility today to pick up that mantle. To pick up the mantle means to continue building the church or the body of Christ. Elisha knew that he could do nothing without the power of God, and neither can we. Over the years, I've seen preachers and teachers come and go. Sometimes when they dropped the mantle for us to pick up, we thought that they had actually dropped the ball instead of the mantle. But whether it be the ball or the mantle or whatever it is that's dropped, we need to pick it up for the glory of God. Christ is telling us that whatever it is, we need to accept responsibility and pick it up for the glory of God. Pick up teaching our teens in Sunday school. Pick up continuing the Thursday evening outreach program. Pick up everything that has fallen by the wayside. Pick up Vacation Bible School. Pick up reaching out to the homeless and the needy. Pick it up. That's our responsibility as Christians. Pick it up. Simple truth is that Elijah and Elisha's lives were one of faithful obedience to God. A direct and simple approach to Him is all that God requires of any of us, of any of His servants. Make a direct and simple approach. Here I am, Lord, send me. Our children sang about that when they did the Down by the Creek Bank musical. Send me, Lord. Send me. Believing that God exists is certainly necessary for the Christian, but believing on Him for all of life's needs, trusting Him totally, brings that spiritual power that will allow you to bear all things through Him. Elisha was on his own after his master and mentor was taken away, but he picked up the mantle, and he was never totally alone. The mantle for the pastorship of Bethel United Methodist Church has been dropped. I picked it up 2 years ago, but today it's going to fall away again. Next week, Reverend Ralph Wrightstone has agreed to pick up the mantle. Wearing that mantle is never an easy job. If Brother Ralph and Bethel are going to be successful in doing what God wants to do, you will all need to be supportive. And I challenge you today to be like Elisha. You're here. You have been called out. You have been delegated. Now be determined and be dedicated. Don't give up. Don't say, well, we just can't do this. But I want you to determine to draw closer, just as Elisha stood by Elijah so that he wouldn't miss out on God's blessings. We need to stand by the church and the man of God that has been sent to Bethel. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for your love, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father, all of us need to pick up the mantle that has been dropped before us and follow you. May we walk in your footsteps as you lead us. Father, if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has not accepted you as their personal Savior, help them, Lord, to realize that we can't do things alone, but we need to pick up that mantle and follow you. Come into our hearts and lives and forgive us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'll stand.